I am my original purity and integrity. I am my original purity and integrity. This is our thought for today. Dr. Harrell Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing. Now, what does it mean to be our original purity and integrity? Well, it means giving up all sorts of things. It means giving up being human. I am my original purity and integrity. Now, what is our original purity and integrity? That's what we really are. Our original purity and integrity is the ideal, archetypal concept of our body, our mind, our spirit, our beingness. The original archetypal concept of our mind, our body, our spirit, our beingness. That's what it is. Now, is that human? It hasn't the capacity to be human. To be human is to be frail, fragile. It is to be mortal. It is to rise into expression and expire. Now, my original purity and integrity doesn't call for that. We have made a whole block of conditions for being a human being, and we think that that's reality. We think that that is what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to live and we're supposed to die, be born and die. We're supposed to have human bodies that are frail and that are subject to illnesses, subject to the temperatures of the environment in which we live. We think that our mind has only so much capacity or access to infinite wisdom. And these are the things that we think as a human being. Now, when you think of your original purity and integrity, you think of your absoluteness. You think that you are one as all. You are the infinite mind of the universe. You are all knowledge, all wisdom, all understanding. You are the allness. Now, how many human beings have you heard going around saying, I'm the allness? Maybe a few of our students or New Thought people, but generally speaking, not too much. Although that's what they all believe. That's what they all believe. They're the number one. They're the center of the universe. If they don't know something, it's not known. If they don't do something, it's not done. But of course, they do recognize that there are things that they don't know, and that there are areas that they are unaware of, and that there are accomplishments that they have not accomplished. But every time they think there are accomplishments they haven't accomplished, areas that they don't know and things they haven't done, then they're not divine. They're walking the human way. A divine being does not have the capacity to say, I don't know. A divine being doesn't have the capacity to experience illness or unhappiness or any experience at all. The divine beingness has no capacity for that. Now, when I say no capacity, I mean just that. Its gas tank won't hold that. It won't burn that sort of fuel. Only the human experience burns that, and that's a pure illusion too. But of course, everything is an illusion. We don't want to say that illusion is bad, because everything's an illusion. What illusion do you want? You see, while you're in a human form, or while you're in a physical form, you have the illusion of being human or divine. Can a divine be in a physical form? Sure. Untouched, unconditionally loving. A divine being, the absolute being, can express in any form it chooses. And as we are in this relative world, we are expressing on thousands of dimensions at one time. One time you are angry, one time you're happy, one time you're sad, one time you're glad, one time you're rich, one time you're poor, one time you're sick, one time you're healthy. You see, it all depends what game you want to play. And those, each one of those are lifetimes. Each one of those are dimensions of expression. Because the dimension of expression of happiness is a wonderful dimension, we think. And other people who say, what do you got a right to be happy about? Don't you realize there's problems in this world? How come you're so happy? You know? Well, in their eyes, we have no right to be happy. You see, it's all our own conjecture, all our own thinking, all of our own attitudes of what life is. But I am my original purity and integrity. The cells of our body are originally designed to be immortal. We mortalize them by telling them that they're not immortal. Great philosophers have taught throughout the centuries that we are immortal, that we are wonderful, that we're divinely made. You believe that. As students of this philosophy, you believe that. Because this philosophy takes eclectically from all of the major philosophies of the world, and many minor ones that I don't know about, but all the major philosophies in the world, and it takes that which is consistent in all of them. You see, that's a big point, what's consistent in all of them. The little incidental, unimportant things, that's by the way. The philosophy of the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, the Hindu Church, the the Hebrew Church, and all these things, the philosophy of every one of them, where it is consistent, is the same. The root philosophy. And only when they get to practicing it, only when they get to spanking their members, trying to get them to follow the rules, there the philosophy changes. It is wrong to eat meat on Friday, you know. It is wrong to eat pork, thank you. It is wrong to eat, meat, you know. The Hindus believe that. That's totally wrong. And that's why they got all these cows walking around the street, you know, that could have hamburgers, you know, and they don't have them, you know. Crazy. Well, and they starve to death. But they're not going to eat that meat. They're not going to eat that meat. That meat is not for them to eat. It's forbidden. And that's not bad, but it's not good either, you know. We should not have anything forbidden to us. Everything we do because of our own inner awareness, our own inner drive, our own inner enthusiasm. And if we're going to do things because it's wrong to do it, or it's bad to do it, or it's evil to do it, well then, we are hung up with the badness, the wrongness, and the evilness. If we're doing it because it's good to do it, you know, I like it, I feel good when I'm a vegetarian. I like it, I feel good when I don't drink whiskey, you know. I like it, I feel good when I don't take drugs or marijuana or things like that, you know. I like it. That's the way we want to go. You see, there is no room for other thoughts when you are saying to yourself, I am my original purity and integrity. There is no room in your thinking for other thoughts that might say to you, I don't know. Now, what did I just say, I don't know, to a few moments ago? Did you catch it?
What's it? There's no such thing for a divine being to say, I don't know.
Yeah, well, what I said was, all the great philosophies of the earth, eclectically, have been studied, and those things that are consistent in all of them are there. Now, I didn't study the, I don't know about the smaller philosophies, but the great philosophies, those I have studied, and those I have come to these conclusions about. Now, what did I say negative?
I don't know the smaller.
I don't know the smaller philosophies, but do I know the smaller philosophies?
Of course.
Yes, I do. Do we all? I want you to be alert to these things. Now, seek ye first all things, and the kingdom of God will be added unto you. Now, that's an old one for you, and you're used to catching that. You're used to saying, hey, 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 that's the other way around. It's the other way around. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all things will be added unto you. But it sounds good. And when you're giving this in a lecture or a general conversation, people say, yeah, 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 yeah. They don't mean yeah, yeah. They mean yeah to what they know is yeah, not to what they hear, but they acquiesce to what they hear, and you mustn't do that. You must always be on guard at the portals of your mind, of your thinking, of your actions, to always know what is for your highest and your best. Because you do. The divine within you is always talking to you. Always talking and telling all the wonderful things that are ready for you and all the fun things that there are to do, which, you know, hurt none, take from none, and just good for you. But not that it hurts none and takes from none. It's good for you. And whatever is good for you is good for your world. Now people say, well, now I know some things that aren't. Well, is it really good for you? Is it really good for you? Stop and think. If it's really good for you, it's good for everybody. Now, you say, well, it's good for me to have all the money in the world. No, it isn't. If you had all the money in the world, people would have a different means of exchange. You know, I mean, because you got all. If you had all the diamonds in the world, the diamonds wouldn't have any value. If you had all the gold in the world, you know, the gold standard, you know, it wouldn't. You would have no standard because there's no capacity to it. You see, when you have all of it, then you have nothing. Now that sounds contradictory. When you have all of it, you have nothing. When you have all good, you have nothing. When you say all is good, that's fine. But this is universal. This is uber alles. This is everywhere present. This is not something that's just specifically for you in your pocket. Because if it's just specifically for you in your pocket, then nobody else is experiencing it, and nobody else is putting any meaning to it. Now, we say everybody dies, and everybody is born, and everybody has riches, and everybody is poor, and everybody... Well, is that true?
No.
It doesn't need to be true. It appears to be true because that's where you're putting your consciousness, you're putting your thought, you're seeing that. But I look at the African natives, and I mean the really native ones who work out in the desert, you know, herding goats and sheep and stuff like that, and they don't have any clothes. They don't have any shoes, and they just have their spear that they run around with. Oh, they might wear a loincloth or something, but they don't have any clothes. And do they care? Do they need clothing? What do they do at night when they take their nighttime nap? What do they cover up with? Their consciousness. You see, they don't miss it. They don't need it. They don't want it. They don't even know it exists. They just know their own life exists. And that's wonderful. The Tierra del Fuego people, they wore a robe merely to have pockets to carry the fish they were bringing home and other things, you know. But their little children would go down to the ocean front with their parents, and their parents would be fishing and working out in the ice-cold water with icebergs floating by, and the little children would be playing in the water, thinking it's the greatest thing in the world. And we know that's true. We know that's true. We've seen that with Anita, and we've seen it with other kids, that they play in ice-cold water and just think it's wonderful. They don't even notice that. They're playing out in the ice-cold weather, you know, no mittens, no gloves, their coats open, you know. And maybe even they wet their pants and it froze. But they don't notice that. You know, they're not going to come in from play just because of that, you know. No way. They got a load in their pants, they just walk different. But I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm just saying, the kids are not disturbed by it. They're one-pointed on what they want to do. And they're having fun. We let everything disturb us. And because we do that, we are possessed by everything. We are manipulated by everything. And everything runs our life. We're not the master. The kids are the masters. Really, they are. They're wonderful. I mean, the world should have more children. You say, well, they got a lot of them now. A lot of these... third world countries, they got too many. Hey, look at our own country. Look at the ghettos in our own country, where people have nothing to do but go to bed at night and make children, you know. And they have large families, and they have no money. And the government helps pay for their way, you know. That's okay. But my point is, they must have a wonderful consciousness to have all these beautiful children growing up and growing to healthy adults, even without all the help that modern medical science says is so necessary to survive. The world survived without modern medical help for centuries, for millennia. But the thing is, it has improved the quality of life. We have to admit that. Although, back in the days of Methuselah and these other characters who were supposed to have lived long, long, long lives, hundreds of years, what sort of medical help do they have? Right up here in their head. They thought healthy thoughts. Mm-hmm. They thought healthy attitudes. And I would imagine that it ran in the family, because the father would think healthy thoughts, the mother would think healthy thoughts, the children think healthy thoughts, and the father lived a long life, the children lived a long life. But we don't. We don't live a long life here. We're living 70, 80, 100 years. And what's the deal about that? That's nothing. That's just a matter of wearing out the body, telling the body that it's not functional anymore. We should be saying to ourselves every moment of the day, I am my original purity and integrity. And know that that means your perfect body. Know that every cell of your body designed to do the perfect work and live eternally is now doing its perfect work. Instead of saying that it's not. We're the ones who deny these things. We're the ones who push them out of our life. And we're the ones who can pull it into our life. Now, if you hear nothing more than these few words in all of your life and live by it, you will have a wonderful life. I am my original purity and integrity. Like the little children. They're not touched by weather. They're not touched by their parents calling them to come in. They're not touched by anything. When a little child is injured by a dog, that child's got some mean streak in him, you know. He's got some real mean streak in him. Anybody who is offended by an animal, any animal, has something within them that's really mean. We just take our classic example of Daniel in the lion's den. Remember? Sylvia in the lion's den, Ellen in the lion's den, Inga in the lion's den, Anita in the lion's den, Herb in the lion's den. What did the lions do? Did they want to eat us?
No. Brr,
brr. Yeah, purr, purr, purr. They came and snuggled next to us and said, you know, you smell good, but I'll eat later. But they didn't hurt Daniel. They didn't hurt Daniel because Daniel had only love for them, unconditional love for them. And they could not touch him. That wasn't even in their consciousness when they came up to him. It might have been as they started to come. But the minute they saw him, this unconditionally loving being, they could not do anything. No room for other thoughts. No room for other thoughts. Very important. We don't need to have that in our mind, but that's the idea. No room for other thoughts. Only, I am my original purity and integrity. That's the only thing that matters. I'd like to leave that with you today and have you consider it and live it, believe it, and enjoy the fruit of it. Because I'm not your teacher, sharer, I'm not anything to you. I'm just sort of like a little voice in the dark, sort of, as Ellen says, knocking at your head, saying, you're there? Yes, sledgehammer. I am my original purity and integrity, and that's what it's all about. Have a lovely day. I love you very, very much.
Thank you.